When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Early Line, hour number two, right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. The college football season is fast approaching, even faster than the NFL. We've got some more ACC take and leave us really actually excited to get involved with those today. But I want to talk about the preseason coaches poll that comes out here, the top 25. And I know you'll hear a lot of people tell you the polls don't matter, the rankings don't matter. Yes and no. I'm not telling you don't make bets. Oh, look, 21 is a dog to an unranked team. Actually, that's a big red flag. But it is always interesting to see what the perception is coming into the season. And the one thing that is abundantly clear, Donnie, is, you know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, that's your top four.
And that's the way it should be. And I know a lot of people, like, we like dynasties. Most people say, well, we don't like that. But we watch dynasties because, A, a lot of people root for the dynasty, and B, a lot of people root against those dynasties. I think we can all agree right now, we don't even know how this football season, Kevin, is even going to play out, as you see the coaches poll right there. It's the haves and the have-nots every single year. If I were to tell you, Kevin, right now as we sit here in mid-August, you're going to sit around for a college football playoff Saturday that's going to have Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State in it. You're going to say, no, boy, I really wish that Wisconsin got in. I really wish Iowa got in. I wish Coastal Carolina got in because that would be a lot of fun. No. You know what's fun? The best football teams in the nation every single year and like what we call the Alabama or Clemson Invitational. You know, there's something, I wish it would just change up. It's so boring. It's really boring watching Alabama play football. It's really boring watching Clemson with Trevor Lawrence play football. It's really boring when you get Oklahoma in their seven wideout sets out here with a quarterback throwing for 9,000 yards a season and 50 touchdowns. That's one. But no, let's bring in other teams in here. Boy, it'd be a lot of fun to see Iowa State in here because they play good, sound football. We want the best teams in the college football playoff. And if the best four every single year seem like it's either Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and we'll let one other team in here to try to make some noise, I don't see what the big issue is. I love it. If it ended today, I agree. Hey, a little bit of fatigue on the top teams. I don't see it to myself. I want to see the best teams in it.
I also want to see the best teams in it. I think this is why I want the expansion. I think, where people have tripped themselves up here is, oh, the bigger the field, the less games mean. Wrong. Yes, Bama, Clemson have more wiggle room now. Again, as Donnie said, that's good. Could you not want Clemson or Ohio State in your college football playoff? Ask ESPN if they want those teams in their college football playoff. But what, right, like, if I told you, hey, week one, Indiana, Iowa are going to play, you're like, and? It's 16 versus 17. Who cares? Neither one of them are going to make the college football playoff. There's nothing to worry about here. That's where people have tricked themselves for so long. And that's why we start this conversation with bringing up that top four. The one thing that I do want to bring up, though, is that 15. Because Georgia is just always kind of hanging around, right? We look at them and we go, yeah, they're as good as those teams, but they just can't beat Alabama. And what's so fascinating about Georgia is that on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, odds to win the national championship, they are in front of both Ohio State and Oklahoma. Bring the radio audience into the fold. We appreciate everybody that tunes in with us here on the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, all of our radio affiliates out there. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, which you hear on a Wednesday morning. Talking about the Georgia Bulldogs right now at plus 500 in the national championship. What is so interesting to me, Donnie, about that number is it feels a little bit like that number saying, hey, they might beat Clemson. And if they do, they're probably in the college football playoff. If they don't, then Ohio State and Oklahoma, I think, right away will be jumping in front of that team.
No, exactly. And that's the only way you can play it out here because, as the old saying goes, Kevin, you can't win a championship unless you're in the playoff round. So you're right. Right away on game one, whoever wins that between Clemson and Georgia is going to get a leg up on basically making the college football field. Because if you say, Georgia's a good team, which they are, and maybe they do get beat by Alabama, but it's going to be hard to keep a one-loss SEC team out of the college football playoff, and that's what you're angling for. So it's a great point you bring up. Alabama plus 250 to win the championship, Clemson plus 400. Georgia sitting here at a plus 500 number. That is angling towards them to beat Clemson, which I do think they have a legitimate chance to do. Trevor Lawrence gone, ATN is gone. Sort of that new regime going to take the field. A very talented Clemson team, which is why they are second in the country here, sitting at 4-1 to win a national championship. But that's going to go a long way to determining who's actually going to get in. And it just feels like throughout the season, Kevin, ESPN does that show where it's, something I don't pay any attention to. 6 weeks to go. Let's take a look at the college football playoff and where it sits. You're going to have Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State and Georgia are going to flip consecutively for five straight weeks to see who's going to get in to try to build that intrigue there. I don't worry about that. It's too much, time on the mind. Everything will be decided here on the football field. But the one thing we do know is if Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State are in, I'm in a pretty good spot here waiting on that fourth team because I know I'm going to get a pretty competitive college football playoff.
Here's the other team, though, that we will be following. It's going to end up being Cincinnati. They're 150-1 to win the national championship. Are they going to win the national championship? No, they're not. But last year, they kind of entered the national eye a little bit more because Cincinnati was the, hey, let them crash the party team. It's a COVID year. Let them crash the party. They played Georgia. They were competitive. They were actually up 21-10 in that game. Maybe should have won. The schedule lines up. Unbeaten Cincinnati is going to be a conversation this year, but the conversation shifts to the golf world next year on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the early line on Sports Grid. I want to remind people, if you want to keep up with everything going on here at Sports Grid, you got to follow us over on social media, on Twitter, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. All of the live updates from everything that we're doing here on the early line, the morning after, game time decisions, coast to coast, the whole deal. You got to follow us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. Maybe they'll even follow you back. I don't know if I was supposed to say that part, but what are you going to do? We've said it. Maybe we'll follow you back. It's how you get people
follow
involved.
Train.
So, the Wyndham Championship is coming up here. Donnie's been breaking this thing down left and right. I know he's chomping at the bit to give you the Will Zalatoris breakdown, but I want to start it off with Dubs Anderson. Dubs always does a great job helping us get set for all of the PGA Tour events, and we will start it off with a course preview for the Wyndham Championship. This week on the PGA Tour, we've got the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield Country Club in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, this is the last chance for a lot of these players to try and qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs, and we've got a couple of big names right on that 125 mark. Matt Kuchar, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott. These guys need to have themselves a week or they won't be playing FedEx Cup playoffs, so keep an eye out for them. What did we see here last year? Jim Herman is your defending champion, but we saw super low scoring, and I expect more of the same this week. 20 under par is probably going to be your winning mark. How do you get to 20 under par? You've got to make a lot of birdies. How do you do that? Key stats for us this week: strokes gained approach, putting, and birdie average. They're three key elements if you want to go low this week. The field, it's a decent one. Louis Oosthuizen, Hideki Matsuyama, and Webb Simpson are your headliners. Webb Simpson, for me, he's the prototype you want this week. Someone who's dangerous from 130, 100 yards in and can just take game. Keep that in mind. I think this is a value play for us this week. When you've got a shorter golf course like this one, past 70, it brings a lot more guys in the equation because length is not going to be a factor. We want a volatile player, someone who can run those tables, someone with a higher ceiling, more so than Mr. Consistency this week. And one thing to keep in mind, last year what we saw was the winner come from quite a few shots back on the Sunday, so don't discount the in-tournament betting this week offered up by the FanDuel Sportsbook. They're teeing off Thursday over at Sedgefield Country Club. Get your tickets in, get your bets in, keep it locked here on the Sports Grid all week. We'll be talking the Wyndham Championship. Let's have ourselves a week.
Dubs always bringing the energy there. One thing that I know immediately jumps out to me, Donnie, from that breakdown, though, of course, with what we're always doing at night in Play Sports Tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio, live betting, live opportunities here at the Wyndham Championship.
No, certainly. And I like the fact that, you know, Dubs brings it on. Whenever you have these golf courses, sometimes we look at the major tournaments. You know, you're looking to get the 5-under, 6-under, a chance of 20-under, which means that field is going to be moving each and every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And also, if you're getting into a live betting equation here, Kevin, where you take a guy that's 30-1 or 40-1, even on Saturday, if a tournament is going to go as low as a minus 20 winner, and you are 5 or 6 shots back with your guy, Kevin, there's a legitimate chance he can make that up. Whereas when you look at it in a major tournament, and 4-under wins it, hey, my guy needs to shoot 5-under on the last day, probably not going to take place here. So a scoring championship here this weekend, that's nice when you're taking a look at some long shots here.
Now, what's the deal? Are we going to get a make-the-cut parlay? Are there cut lines to be made here? I don't see make-miss options available right now as it pertains to the Wyndham Championship. That is always the odds boost that we're looking to get involved with here. One guy who I wouldn't be shocked if we do get that, who could be involved, is a guy like Tommy Fleetwood, a well-known name here, 40-1 to win the Wyndham Championship. Let's hear what Dubs thinks about Fleetwood walking into this tournament.
This week on the PGA Tour, we've got the Wyndham Championship, and right now, I'm here to tell you who I'm not big on this week. A player who I'm going to fade, and to be honest with you, I'm a little concerned of where his golf game is at, and that's Englishman Tommy Fleetwood. Now, Tommy's still in the top 35 in the official Golf World rankings, which is pretty good, right? But let's have a look at the season he's been having. 138th in the FedEx Cup standings. If he doesn't have a good finish this week, he's not playing playoff golf, and I don't think he will be. Look at what he did here last year. T59th. He barely made the weekend. This is a guy who comes into this tournament playing a lot of golf, but it's not good golf. That tells me he's down in confidence. And look at some of his key stats. Strokes gain approach, 110th. Putting, 129th on the PGA Tour. What happened to Tommy Fleetwood? 5 years ago, he was the man, the sharpshooter. Not so much lately, guys. But how's he get it back? He's got to keep playing, getting himself in the mix, in contention, and slowly that confidence will come back. Tommy Fleetwood will be playing at the Ryder Cup later this year at Whistling Straits. But right now, given where his golf game is at, that's a great matchup for Team USA. The only thing intimidating about Tommy Fleetwood right now is that hairstyle. For me, that's my fate of the week at the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour.
Whoa, Dubs. Going out of man's hair. I tell you, I mean, OKW has to, you know, avoid some left and rights, I tell you, when it comes to that exact topic right there. But we won't get into that right now. He's fading Tommy Fleetwood, though, Donnie. That 40-1 price, I guess, not appetizing. Again, give us some make-miss options here. Who knows? Fleetwood struggling to make the weekend last time.
Yeah, interesting picks here, because as you take a look all the way through, sometimes we see these tournaments, Kevin, non-major championships with a guy that's the favorite, minus 600, minus 700, minus 800. We don't have that in the field this week with the Wyndham Championship with Webb Simpson at a 12-1. But outside of the top three golfers, Kevin, 12-1, 15-1, 18-1, it jumps to 28-1 and higher. So there are chances here for some long shots to get after in the tournament, and that's where most people like to make their money. So if you pick somebody, you know, flowing down, Zalatoris, 28-1, Jason Kokrak, 29-1, Cam Stewart right here on the Sports Grid Network, one of his favorite players. We'll see who can reach up and grab that crown, but looking overall, typically there's guys that you want to jump on, the steady guys, Hideki Matsuyama, Louis Oosthuizen up there under 20-1, but there is a big field here behind that with some big tickets here to cash in.
Let me tell you something. If John Rahm magically shows up at the Wyndham Championship, he'd be like plus 300 to win this thing. Like, if you look at the field, like, he might be pick. He might be pick, like the Louis Robert home run odds that we saw. Yes, plus. Yeah, play. Plus the field, minus 120. You'll lose that bet. You mentioned Matsuyama there, Donnie. He is the second choice on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this. We have one more update from Dubsy there on Matsuyama. 15-1 is a really interesting price there, sandwiched between Webb Simpson and Louis Oosthuizen. Let's hear what Dubs thinks about Hideki at the Wyndham Championship.
The Wyndham Championship kicks off this week on the PGA Tour, and we need to look at who's going to win this one, the outright market. I'm here to tell you it's going to be the green jacket holder himself, Mr. Hideki Matsuyama, at 15-1 with the FanDuel Sportsbook. He's coming in here absolutely red hot. He made it into the playoff last weekend. He couldn't get it done, but he did all the right things for me. He had a top five of the Olympics despite all the distractions from his home country. This is a guy over the last 6 months who keeps showing up with the right stuff and knows how to get himself into the mix, and I think he does it again this week at the Wyndham Championship. We know the course is going to be a little softer. It's a par 70, so you're going to have a lot more mid-irons in your hands. Look at Hideki Matsuyama, 8th in strokes gained approach. He is an absolute sharpshooter from 150 yards in, and that's what we need this week. The only take on Hideki Matsuyama is his putting, but when he knows scores are low, he's very aggressive with the putter, and that's going to suit him this week. 15-1 with the FanDuel Sports. We'll get on Hideki Matsuyama to win the Wyndham Championship and keep it locked here at the Sports Grid. We're talking golf all week.
You love it. Hideki, 15-1. Donnie, how do we feel?
I like it. I mean, you're talking about the top three guys in this decided favorites over Brian Harman, Zalatoris, and Kokrak. If you had the top three here, Kevin, now, Hideki Matsuyama, very steady, but also Louis Oosthuizen as well. We know he's going to put in some rounds. And how about the FanDuel Sportsbook out here? Give us a little Matsuyama Oosthuizen mixed in a cut line, you know, plus 200, plus 225. I'm going to be invested in that, Kevin. We're two for our last two. Yeah. Give me at least the top two guys in the tournament just to make the cut here at a plus 2-1 number. I'm going to be all about that, Kevin. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm sure that is exactly what that would look like there. Yep. Matsuyama Oosthuizen to make the cut parlay boosted from minus 350 to minus 400. All right, we'll come on back here and we're talking some ACC win totals and conference futures, of course, there as well in the ACC. Can anybody catch Clemson? No, that's a spoiler. But there's other interesting stuff. Come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here on the early line, talking some college football here on a Wednesday, only a few short weeks before college football kicks off for real at the end of the month. We're going to talk a little bit of the ACC and the championship itself. Who's going to take it down? Well, as Kevin pointed out right before the break here, no real spoilers here, folks. Clemson sitting here at a minus 900 to win the ACC, followed by North Carolina at a 10-1 clip. The Miami Hurricanes 10-1 also. Louisville at 30-1. Boston College, 30-1, and NC State at 52-1. So when you try to make heads or tails of this division. The only question to me is going to be whether or not Clemson is the only ACC team here, Kevin, that actually makes it into the college football playoff.
Look, there's certainly some viable options on the other side of the bracket. We'll talk all about that. We want to put the button, though, on some of the more intriguing win totals. We've been breaking down the top of it. Boy, yesterday I think I fell in love with Duke, which is a terrible, terrible thing. But we'll see how it goes. We'll start it off with the Wolfpack. Look, respectfully, as a wrestling fan, I wish nothing but the best for this program here. They check in with a win total of 6.5. Plus 110 to the over. The juice is telling, Donnie, take it or leave it. NC State over 6.5 wins.
This is going to be a close one for me, Kevin. 6.5 seems about right, and you see where it's juiced to the plus 110 number. So 7 probably going to be a little bit of that underdog to hit that price. It's going to come down to two games for me. But before we do that, heading into the season here, coming back on the offensive side of the football here, 8 returning starters on defense, 9. That's usually like, hey, look at that, 17 out of the 21 starters coming back here in 2021. The only issue that you have in that instance, Kevin, is when you have to replace a quarterback, sometimes it makes it a little bit tougher. When we take a look at a 12-game schedule, winning 7 games, wait a second, just got to go 7-5 this year. Where do I sign up? NC State's been decent in the past. Last year, 8-4 overall in 2020. But when we're taking a look at the schedule this year, Kevin, it comes down to two games for me, whether or not they're going to get that 6.5 total. And that's with beating Louisville, which they have at home, and then going on the road against Florida State. We just had a Florida State review saying, hey, you know what? A preview, excuse me, 5.5. My goodness, this isn't your old school Florida State team where you go to Doak Campbell Stadium and you're going to get your butt whipped, sent out of town. And boy, hopefully we can win the next few games here because you have a legitimate chance to go down to Tallahassee now while the Florida State Seminoles are down to beat them. Look at the conference schedule here. Excuse me, look at the overall schedule outside of the conference. USF, obviously South Florida to play. That's at home. That should be a victory. Go on the road at Mississippi State, which is an SEC ball club. I don't know if you pick up that victory, but firm it at home. You should be 2-1 before you probably get bounced by Clemson to make that 2-2. Then Louisiana Tech comes to make it 3-2, Kevin. So then you only need 4 wins the rest of the way. If they can beat both Louisville at home and FSU on the road, I think they get there, Kevin. I'm going to go with a yes and take this with the plus money number.
Here is my worry on NC State. Last year, 7-3 in conference, 8-4 overall. You bring back, you said, what? I mean, Donnie, almost all of their starters from a team like that. So if you take a step forward there, at the minimum, right, should be able to repeat that kind of a season. As we're talking about diving into the meat and potatoes, though, of just the actual numbers. Last year, right? North Carolina got them pretty good. They lose to Miami. They lose to Va Tech. The other top 25 wins, Pitt by 1. Liberty by 1. Donnie, at half of the Duke game and the Syracuse game, they were trailing to Duke and Syracuse, trailing to both of those teams. That's why I worry here, because the thing about NC State, like, the schedule is not very giving. We've seen a lot of easier schedules when we've been going through these win totals here, Donnie. This is a number where if you are playing over, that means you like this Wolfpack team. And I understand how people can get there. I just worry a little bit too much about perhaps some of last season's results being more schedule than actual team. I lean towards the under here as it pertains to the Wolfpack, respectfully, though, NWO for life. Let's go to Pitt, Donnie. 7 is the number here on the Pitt Panthers. Trying to get the job done here, maybe be competitive with, you know, the rest of this conference. That's what they're hoping for. Take it or leave it, over 7 wins for Pitt.
I think it's funny because it's take it or leave it. It's not, you know, I like it a little bit, but I think it's going to hit right on the number because 7, you can have a push. But it seems to me, Kevin, like 7 is the optimum scenario. And sometimes when you look at the schedules here, sure, we can't play it out. These are college kids. It's 12 games. But when you come down to certain points on the schedule where I think they need to pick up a victory to get that 7th win and at least a push, for me, it's Georgia Tech. They have to win that football game because take a look at the Pitt Panthers coming into the season. Offensively returning 7 starters, defensively 6 starters, but also keep in mind Kenny Pickett coming back for his senior year. What did we just talk about NC State, which might make it a little bit harder trying to break in a new quarterback? Not the case here, and certainly not a young quarterback either coming back as a senior. So you take a look at that also from a rushing perspective. everybody coming back in the fold for Pittsburgh in this. Top wide receiver is back. There's a lot to like about this Pitt team. Getting off fast is what you need to do. UMass at home should be a victory. Go on the road against Tennessee, which we just talked about, NC State, on the road against an SEC program. You probably chalk that up as a loss. Western Michigan should be a win. New Hampshire should be a win. So that's 3-1 right off the bat. And then that key game I talked about at Georgia Tech on the road, which they should be able to win to pick up another victory to get the 7, because after that, Kevin, take a look at this. At Virginia Tech, Clemson, Miami, you should be able to pick up that win at Duke, but then you have North Carolina, Virginia, and Syracuse to end the season. Obviously, you're looking at picking up a win against Virginia and Syracuse to end, but the meat of that schedule in the middle, they're going to trip up a little bit. So if you're looking to get that final victory to put them over the top on their season total, I think that Georgia Tech game is key for a quick start. Then we'll see on the back end what happens here. Pitt's a good football team. They should at least get the push, maybe even a legitimate chance to get that 8th win and go 8-4 in the 2021 season.
This is a take it for me. I'm interested in this Pitt team. You talk about the talent that they bring back, especially at the most important position in Kenny Pickett, year 5 for him. Here's where things are really interesting. At the end of the day, if this team is worth any of their salt, they've got 5 wins lined up for them, no problem, right? You've talked about it. UMass, Western Michigan, New Hampshire, Duke, and Syracuse. The interesting thing about this team is their most difficult games are at home. This is where how you prefer your schedules to line up will really depend what you like at Pitt. If you're someone who says, hey, listen, let's travel to the most difficult games because we weren't winning them anyway, well, you're not going to like this Pitt schedule. If you think they can pull upsets, though, you'll be interested. And here's the thing. Listen to some of these results, Donnie, since 2016. A win at number 2 in the country, Clemson, 43-42. A win against an unbeaten Miami team who was number 2 in the country, who went to the ACC Conference Championship game. They go to South Bend and only lose by 5 to Notre Dame, who was ranked 5th in the country in 2018. And in 2019, UCF comes to town, double-digit favorite, 15th team in the country. They hang with them offensively and beat them 35-34. The reason, Donnie, that I find myself interested in Pitt over, I think they could probably come away with one of the Miami or the North Carolina games. And that should be able to push this team over the number. That's where Pitt gets interesting to me. The one thing I will say is they also seemingly are the kind of team that will lose to Duke or Syracuse. You make a good point, Donnie. It feels like this is one of those deals where it's going to be 7-5. Thanks for showing up. We've been holding your money. You got no interest. Imagine they gave you interest on your futures. That'd be nice. You get it all the way back. All right, we certainly have enough time here for Louisville. 6.5 for the Cardinals. Where is Lamar Jackson? Boy, do they miss that kid. But the number is 6.5, Donnie, here. What do we make of Louisville walking into this season?
I'm going to leave this one here, and it's not to say because, again, when you're talking about having an electric quarterback coming back to your team, look, Lamar Jackson was electric for Louisville. You could have Malik Cunningham, obviously the leading passer on the team since he's a quarterback, and also the leading returning rusher. So it's going to be boom or bust with that kid. So obviously, Kevin, if he's banged up a little bit, that's going to throw a major wrench in the season. I think they have 6 wins in them as we take a look. Offense going to return 7 starters. Defensively, Kevin, 5 starters. But let's take a look at the tail of the tape. Opening the season against a very good Ole Miss team on the road. Well, technically on the road. It's not a home game. It is going to be a neutral site game. That's probably going to be a loss. Eastern Kentucky at home, that should be a victory. UCF at home, even if that one is a victory, which I do think it has a great chance of being, you're still going to be right on that cut line with the 6 wins. At Florida State, you should pick up a victory. At Wake Forest, the same thing. Virginia, you should win, but then take a look at the schedule after that. BC, NC State, Clemson, Syracuse, and Duke right there on the borderline. It's going to come down to an in-state rivalry here, Kevin, to get that 7th win versus Kentucky. Even though they have them at home, Kevin, I don't think they're going to be able to do it here. I think 6 wins here is a legitimate number for Louisville. Team total 6.5. I'm going under, so I'm going to leave that one on the table.
I agree. Here's the other thing I'll just bring up there. Steve Satterfield, out off season, was like trying to get the South Carolina job. Then was like, oh, my bad. And he's sending out apology notes to the fans. What's the culture there like in Louisville? Is everybody, hey, Steve, you leaving us? How do the kids feel? It just, that's not the kind of program that I want to lock money up in long term and look for them to improve this coming season. Donnie, simple question here. Take it or leave it, a futures ticket in the ACC at 10-1 or better. And what this would basically be, anybody other than Clemson to win this division, anybody other than Clemson to win the Atlantic, certainly, or anybody other than North Carolina or Miami to win the Coastal. Take it or leave it.
Man, that's a tough one because, you know, just to keep it quick, obviously we think Clemson is going to win the ACC championship. If I'm looking for a team to upset Clemson, regardless of conference play or regardless of divisions here, it's going to be North Carolina for myself. But it just feels like, Kevin, there is a big three in the ACC. Clemson, North Carolina, Miami, and everybody else at that point. If there's one team that I do think that can surprise and win the conference outright if Sam Howell stays hot, that's North Carolina and Mack Brown for me, Kevin.
I think you're spot on. I think you're absolutely spot on there. Again, at the worst case scenario, if UNC does get to that title game, you should be able to have some hedge opportunities. Clemson should not be bigger than minus 1,000 to win that game. All right, we preview the baseball board next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. We've got about 20 minutes on the gun here, an opportunity to preview tonight's Major League Baseball board. A lot of good action due up for us. Always like on a Wednesday, things will start early. And let's go to the first game on the board. The White Sox and the Twins. Lance Lynn, the AL Cy Young favorite, is on the mound. Bailey Ober, always ripe for the picking, especially against this White Sox team. I think, 80% of his career starts have come against the Chicago White Sox. The total checks in at 8.5, up to 9 now on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Donnie, what are we thinking? White Sox, Twins.
Yeah, kudos to you yesterday for picking Jose Abreu to hit a home run. They only scored 3 runs yesterday, and one of those was a Jose Abreu home run. But they did lose the game yesterday to the Minnesota Twins, so looking for a bounce back today, 1:10 Eastern time. It's always nice. When the White Sox come up on the board as a team total player and overbacker, what's not to like about this team? You take a look at Ober on the mound, who hasn't been bad, Kevin, over the last 30 days, a 4.19 xFIP number, but he has been lit up from the right-hand side. 46 batters that he's faced from the right-hand side over the last 30 days, a 370 weighted on base average, and that also coupled with an ISO power number of 341. Take a look at the right-handers in the lineup tonight that could do some damage. Anderson, Engel, Abreu, Jimenez, along with Vaughn and Zavala. A lot of high weighted on base averages here for the Chicago White Sox, which seems like on a night-to-night basis, no matter what pitcher they go up against, Kevin, they match up fairly well against. Look at some of these ISO power numbers. Just looking at the top 5 guys in the lineup here. Anderson at 192, Engel at 211, Abreu 292, Eloy Jimenez a 619. So certainly they should do some damage here lining up against Ober on the mound. Lance Lynn, 356 xFIP number on the over the last 30 days. How about this, Kevin? Right-handed pitcher Lance Lynn to lefties, 57 batters he's faced over the last 30 days, a 265 weighted on base percentage. How about to righties? A 258. Should be able to win this game for the White Sox today. But then again, Kevin, should have won last night as well. Minnesota got some decent batters still in the lineup. They profile very well versus right-handed pitchers. They'll be in this game. Are going to pick Minnesota to win? Probably not. But just looking at the lineups combined, maybe we get some runs today, even off of Lance Lynn, the starting pitcher for the Chicago White Sox.
Well, can I just add this on this Bailey Ober thing? People are like, oh, you have to be exaggerating. Well, yes, to a degree. But this is going to be his 13th start. The fifth time he's seen the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. He knows this lineup, and this lineup knows him. So something to keep in mind as it does pertain to this game. We'll keep moving straight down the board. Rockies, Astros, very disappointing game yesterday. The Rockies profiled well. They should have been able to hit Jake Odorizzi. Mm-hmm. They got shut out. You knew the game was dead in the first inning when Ryan McMahon was out trying to stretch a double into a triple right then and there. Teams like that, the next half inning, first and second, nobody out. They don't even move the runners over. Bad baseball team playing bad baseball. They continue to be absolutely miserable on the road. And that's why the Houston Astros are minus 260 here against Colorado. It's Valdez and Senzatella, Donnie, with a total of 9.
Yeah, and we're taking a look at the pitching matchups here. I do want to get back to Colorado. Now, keep in mind, a lot of these statistics here over the last 30 days, they're going to come from Coors Field, so they're a little bit elevated. But taking a look at Valdez on the mound today, 4.56 xFIP number. Because, you know, he's walking a little bit too many guys. Decent strikeout guy, about 20% of the batters he's faced over the last month here. Walking around 14%, which is why that xFIP number is a little bit higher. But the one key ingredient that you look at from a Major League Baseball pitcher is, can you keep the ball on the ground, Kevin? How about over the last 30 days, 72% of the balls in play against Valdez, they're going on the ground. That leads to the double play balls. Sure, you're going to get some base hits out of that, but if the ball is rolling on the ground, Kevin, pretty good chance it's not going to be able to leave the yard there for a home run. But take a look at the Colorado lineup again. They presented well in their game yesterday versus Odorizzi. Weren't able to get any runs in that game through nine innings. But today, again, Joe leads off, 375 ISO power number versus lefties over the last 30 days. Rogers, 524. Story, 333. Crone, 292. Diaz, 300. You do have some good hitters in the lineup tonight that are profiling well against lefties. But then again, Kevin, when you take Colorado out of Coors Field, sometimes you have to manually readjust those numbers, even though you say to yourself, I want to trust what I see on the screen. Sometimes you have to equate that to different ballparks here and the level of matchup you're getting. Because one of the indicators last night we were looking for was, yeah, Rockies should get some runs over Odorizzi. Maybe they can scrape out a run over the final four innings here to pick up that team total. If they weren't hitting Odorizzi yesterday, they weren't going to hit that Astros bullpen. But taking a look from the opposite side, Senzatell is a pretty good pitcher, 3.40 xFIP over the last 30 days, but he does get hit around a little bit from the left-hand side. He is your average pitcher. Now, obviously, half of his starts probably coming at least in Coors Field. But when you look at the lineup on top of lineup, obviously the Astros are a better pedigree team. The Astros, to me, are going to win the AL. They should fairly win easily against the Rockies today. But I don't want to lay that price overall because some of the matchups do make sense from a Colorado Rockies perspective going up against their left-handed pitcher.
Perhaps there could be runs. Senzatell, we've talked about this. One of these odd Rockies pitchers with reverse numbers there. The ERA at home is a 4. On the road, it's a 6. Also, just a little odd nugget. There's 12 at-bats in this Astros lineup for a career against Senzatell. They've never reached base. Every single one of them. It's 4 different guys that are 0-3. You could pump it up to 18, by the way. I wasn't going to. Zach Greinke's seen him 6 times. He's, of course, never gotten a hit because pitchers should never bat. It's awful for the sport. And if you think otherwise, you're wrong. We'll move it forward, though. Dodgers, Phillies, Kyle Gibson, David Price. A short number on the Dodgers. But then again, I mean, on the road, Gibson, a better pitcher than David Price. A total checking in at 10 here, Donnie. Phillies a live dog, maybe.
I think the Phillies are a live dog here, but again, when you're talking about betting Philadelphia Phillies, you know, equations for the game, I do think Kyle Gibson overall is the better pitcher at this point in his career than David Price's. 5 years ago, obviously, that might be a little bit different story. But I'm going to ask you this question, Kevin. When you're betting Major League Baseball games, the thing we always want to try to avoid are the bullpen, you know, collapses from teams. Mm-hmm. Some teams have very good bullpens. Yesterday, we went over game by game what I liked and circled early in the day and said, I'm going to settle on the Detroit Tigers. Why? Because of a bad starter for Baltimore and a really bad bullpen. If I would went with my other picks yesterday, they look good early on, but the bullpens absolutely shut the door. So when you take a look from a Philadelphia Phillies perspective, the minute we went off the air yesterday saying, hey, coming back here, the Los Angeles Dodgers should be able to get after the bullpen. They had 0 runs on the board by the time they entered the fifth. Aaron Nola comes out, bullpen comes in, 5 runs scored, 12 hits overall for the game, an easy shutout win for the Dodgers. So if you're betting from a Phillies perspective and you like Kyle Gibson, he's probably going to give you a good 6 innings tonight, but why would you want to extend it further and go 7, 8, and 9 where the Dodgers are on the road getting at least 9 outs against the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen? If I'm going to take that dog price or go with a slight favorite here, I'm going to take the Philadelphia Phillies over the first 5 innings here on the money line if I were looking to bet this game. And overall, when you take a look at Price, a lefty, the Phillies over the last 30 days have profiled very well here. Segura, 227 ISO power number. Realmuto, 400. Harper, 167. Bohm, 250. Torres, 200. Miller, 231. That's your first 6 batters out of the eligible 8 that have high elevated ISO power numbers versus lefties. If I'm looking to isolate the Philadelphia Phillies, I'm taking them first 5 in this game, Kevin.
And that number checks in at about plus 102 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yep. If they're tied, you got your money back. If you want to take them minus a half run, plus 130. It's a triple money line on FanDuel. The draw, obviously, though, if that comes into play. So there's plus money down there, certainly, if you'd like to get involved that way. I had to bring up Rays Red Sox here. Look, to say their season is on the line is not true. They're still in a wild card position. is the division on the line today? That's also probably not true, but it does feel like this team needs a win, specifically against this Tampa team. And this is what they do, the Rays. They somehow just demoralize the top of this division. They've done it to the Yankees for years, and they're doing it to Boston right now. Nathan Eovaldi's on the mound, minus 120. Total, again, pretty high here at Fenway Park with a 10.
Let's start with a Boston perspective in this side here, because I do think there has the possibility of getting runs tonight. Here's why. Fleming's a lefty on the mound over the last 30 days, Kevin, at 5 XFIP number. And equal opportunity chances against this lefty, Kevin, 20 from the left-hand side batters that he's faced over the last 30 days, a 428 weighted on base percentage against him. To righties, a 368, and that's with 65 batters faced from the right-hand side. The only issue I have here, over the past month, that Boston Red Sox lineup versus lefties just hasn't hit. Outside of Kike Hernandez out of the leadoff spot and Rafael Devers in the cleanup spot, everybody else here, ISO power numbers below the table that you want to take a look at, whereas, hey, we can get after left-handed pitching. Now, here's where it flips on. And when I talk about some of those team totals and circle plays that I like, Nathan Eovaldi, the right-hander, hard-throwing guy on the mound, a 4.59 XFIP, which is slightly higher than the league average that you want to see. He has a decent strikeout number, 26% of the batters he's faced. But get this, Kevin, 53 batters from the right-hand side. Nathan Eovaldi has handled his business over the last month at a 253 weighted on base percentage. But here's where it gets a little bit tricky for Eovaldi and also the Red Sox tonight. To lefties, Kevin, 45 batters he's faced over the last month, 394 weighted on base percentage, ISO power number of 279. Why does that pertain here? Take a look at the anticipated lineup tonight for the Boston Red Sox, for the Boston Red Sox pitcher Eovaldi going up against Tampa Bay. Lefty, 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 lefty. The reason why I'm saying that, Kevin, seven out of the nine anticipated batters tonight for Tampa Bay coming from the left-hand side. They should do some damage against Eovaldi. So if we're looking to break this, you know, hey, we gave up runs here, you might not even have a lead tonight to give up in this one, as Tampa Bay should get some hits off of Eovaldi from the left-hand side.
This is why I think Chrisell keeps coming up here. This is also part of the reason why Boston was not supposed to be all that good. Like, Nathan Eovaldi made the All-Star game. Like, he was supposed to really be leading this staff into battle. And now it's just every single, it's almost like Phillies-esque right now. You're like, ooh, Eovaldi, pick on him. Pivetta, sure. Garrett Richards, Eduardo. Like, boy, oh boy. Even this, and this is the other thing about this team, just projecting outward. Chrisell comes back, okay, fine. Chrisell wins into a wild card game, okay, fine. How much further are we going than that when it comes to the Boston Red Sox? Like, one thing I noticed today. Now, listen, again, it's the Yankees, so I'm sure maybe that's part of it. But the Yankees right now actually have better odds than the Red Sox to win the American League. That's interesting to me now, because they don't have better odds than them to win the division. And it also made me think about Oakland being 11-1. And you know I've not been super high on this Oakland team there. I have my doubts about this team compared to Boston's 850. Like, even if the games are at Fenway Park, who is the perfect matchup, if you will, Donnie, for the Red Sox in the postseason for a seven-game set?
I don't think anybody's the perfect matchup, because you're just lining up pitchers. Is Boston going to be underdog every single game out of the seven, with no matter how they match up, outside of Chris Sale being a dominant pitcher coming back from Tommy John surgery? I don't know. I don't know who would be.
It's so weird, too, because the season took a turn on the heels of them just demoralizing the Yankees for 3 out of 4 games, and it was like, ooh, magical year, Boston, we've seen this before. And then just boom, everything's just broken the other way for that team here. All right, one more chance to bring up at least one more game. I'll bring up Braves Reds quickly here, Donnie. It's a minus 120 price on Atlanta, another high total. Noticing that as well today, Donnie. A lot of high totals here on a Wednesday.
Yeah, hey, let's get some runs here. That's what we like. If we see the numbers low, that means it's going to be dominant pitching matchups out here. One thing, Miley, the lefty, will be on the mound, a 5.02 XFIP number here, so it's a little bit elevated. Does give up a little bit of damage to righties, and you're going to get a good piece of right-handed bats here. Outside of Freddie Freeman being a lefty, everybody in that lineup for Atlanta should be from the right-hand side. They should continue to stay hot in this game. Tuki Toussaint, very talented young pitcher, 3.88 XFIP. We see some amazing starts and some not-so-amazing starts here. You're going to get a lot of left-handed batters here. I do think we get runs tonight down in Hot Lanta tonight, Kevin. So one of those games we're going to look forward to on In-Play Sports tonight. Maybe a first inning over. We'll see.
Yesterday, runs in the Yankees game to start it on.
Yes, there was.
Interesting as well. Ariel joins Donnie to let you know what's coming up in the morning after next right here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day for the early line on a Wednesday. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, along with Kevin Walsh, broke it all down today. Had a lot of fun doing it, but it's time to hand it over to the morning after crew for the next 3 hours. Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. Yes, they do have you covered right here on the Sports Grid Network. Last night, Ariel, we like to participate in Dinger Tuesday at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Kevin goes with Jose Abreu, home run. I go with Kyle Seager to end the night, which I didn't even see and had to wake up today at 4 a.m. and say yes. I cashed that ticket as well. Props coming down. I know the prop cream's ready for today. Did we win last night? How did we do on the grid yesterday?
A couple of good wins. Strikeout props looked good. Freddie Peralta was a name that we gave out 2 days ago. That game ends up getting postponed to the next day, which was yesterday. Peralta goes over his 7.5 strikeout prop. Also liked Eduardo Rodriguez of the Boston Red Sox to go over 6.5 strikeouts. He ends up with 8 yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays, despite the Rays' crazy comeback. What I couldn't believe, and I was texting FanDuel's Tom Vecchio about it, 2 days ago, Tom came on the show and said Salvador Perez to hit a home run against the Yankees. Bet it didn't hit because the guy got hit by a pitch and walked twice. Yesterday, Salvi goes for 2 homers on Dinger Tuesday, which was insane.
No, that is incredible stuff here because we were watching that game live on In Play Sports tonight, both myself and Kevin, and they scored early and often in another victory there for Kansas City. But by the way, we transitioned to the football season. Some interesting NFL news. Carson Wentz appears back on the football field, so maybe some of those numbers might start changing with either A, the team totals, or a price to win the AFC South. But last night, a rite of passage. How do you know it's football season, Ariel? Hard Knocks appears on your TV set.
I love Hard Knocks. I say this to people. I know that Hall of Fame game is supposed to be the start of the NFL season. To me, it's Hard Knocks. Once Hard Knocks starts, you just can't believe that the season, once the season comes, you're saying, oh, wow, it's already September, because Hard Knocks just gets you through. The same way the MJ documentary got us through COVID, it always feels as if Hard Knocks gets us through the preseason.
No, it's great. And how about this coming up here? Doubleheader tomorrow night with, you know, preseason football, a couple games on Friday, Saturday, and also Sunday. We are in the midst of football season right here on the grid. Stay tuned for the morning after over the next 3 hours. Ben Stevens and Ariel Epstein got you covered. We're out of here on the early line. We will see.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.